Well, it's a distinct honor and privilege for Sister Huff and I to come today to share in this hour of appreciation for Brother and Sister Hurst and the two sons that's here and the two daughters that are arm's length away. I didn't know it, they were the world's greatest pastors till today. That sure makes your job a lot easier when you have that. I'll tell you that much. But you'll not lose your reward, brother. But Ethel, would you like to say just a whatever? There is an excellent unity detectable, discernible in the church. And when you have pastors like these and a congregation that's willing to mold into that kind of a direction, Tim, it makes a difference, doesn't it? I'm sort of old in my background. As we drove up from Middletown this morning, we came, of course, up Route 4 and turned on Union Road. Many years ago, I ran a revival here in Dayton at El Bethel Assembly of God Church. The pastor was a lady by the name of Dorothy Elliker, and I stayed with Sister Elliker some nights in their home there on Route 4. So as I passed today, I tried to remember what house. Of course, they're long gone. That's so long ago. But memories just kept crowding in as we came along. I'm deeply experienced in this church. I was here when Sister Shank was here. And on the heels of that, of course, that was at My Avenue when I was at the church. And then when Brother Vaughn came along, 1956, I had a two-week revival here at the church. And it was a wonderful experience for me, and I hope the church profited by it. Then when Brother Derwin Ward was here, I came again. And then since Brother Hurst has been here, we have been here on occasions both to fellowship and to minister. So it's been a pleasant experience through the years coming here to the church. I must share a standing story. Some of you older people will remember I was saved under the ministry of a man by the name of John W. Sullivan at Middletown. And, of course, just a young Christian in the church. I just loved him. That's the way you're supposed to do your pastor, you know. And I knew that and did it automatically. And finally there came a time and he announced his resignation. Oh, it just troubled me. No end. Just as we say in Kentucky, it tore me all to pieces. So I went to him and I said, "Oh, Brother Sullivan," I said, "you can't leave. What are we going to do if you leave? What'll happen to us? Who'll be here with us?" "Oh," he said, "Gene," said, "don't worry about it. I'm going to leave and you can get you a good pastor." I said, "We don't want a good pastor. We want you." Of course, he interpreted it correctly, I hope. You know, that pastor is an interesting word. 8 times in the scriptures. 6 of those times negatively. And that's probably the juncture at which we are today in our country and in the world. But twice positively. One is in Jeremiah 3:15. It said, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Jeremiah, all of the 7 times out of the 8 were mentioned in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet. And this is the single time that he spoke in a very positive way about pastors. But they're so important. New Testament, and said he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastor, teachers. And he gave them for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and for specific purposes they were put in place. There is a dire need for good pastors. And I hope that each of you realize the way that you have been blessed in Brother and Sister Hurst ministry among you, and there's better days coming as you seek the Lord and keep going in His direction. But I think it's so neat the way that God equips pastors. See, they're not accidental. God gives them ability. Sometimes they have a natural ability, and that's a good thing. Then on the other hand, there's some of them like me that didn't have much of the natural, and so it had to be the Lord to come along and help us and make up for the deficit. But in Matthew 25 and 15, the scripture said, "And unto one of them he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." And the Lord, in this parable of the talents, saw potential to such a degree that he gave one man 5, another 2, and another 1. You remember the story of the man with 5? Gained another 5. And the man with 2, he gained another 2. But the one that only had 1 talent, he said, "I knew you were a fearsome God. And I was afraid, and I digged in the earth, and I hid that talent." And so he took the talent that belonged or should have reproduced itself in that one. He took it from him and gave him the talent to the one who had gained 5 and now had 10. Now he had 11. But God has a unique way of equipping his men and his women with ability. And that's what God has done for you here. Acts 11:29 said, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability." It's a great deal to be said for a person who can do what they are called to do. And again in 1 Peter 4:11, it said, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth him." And in appreciation, I want to say, Brother Hurst, particularly as far as public ministry is concerned, you'd have to go along, you have to go a fur piece to beat him. I mean, he knows what to say, and he gets under the anointing to say it, and he's bold enough to speak it forth regardless of where the chips fly. And that's mighty important if you're going to be a good pastor. You have to learn to tell people what they need to hear. Not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And so ability is part of it. And we express our appreciation for that. And then accessibility. I pastored an Assembly of God church some years ago in Cincinnati. And after I was there 2 years, they elected me sectional presbyter. I had a guy in my district who was a pastor of a pretty good little church that had an unlisted phone. I was at the barber shop one day, and the man said to me, Harvey was his name, he said, "Gene," said, "let me tell you something on brother so-and-so." I said, "Go ahead, I need to know something on him." He said, "He has an unlisted phone." I said, "Well, how do people get a hold of him?" He said, "They don't." Can you imagine that at the hour of midnight or a crisis or some of the things some of you families have gone through in the last months or the last years, if you had a pastor and couldn't get a hold of him? I've seen it happen more than once. But pastors like these are accessible. You can get to them in an hour of need or distress or when you need them. 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men. They make themselves totally accessible to people who are in need. And that's the way you have to be. And you know, it's a strange thing about pastoring. Once you pastor, you've pastored forever. They could leave here next week, and I grant you, I don't care where they go to. There are members of this congregation that on certain occasions, and there's nothing wrong with this, there's no disloyal to this, but you know they have listening ears and a compassionate heart. And in your deepest hours of distress and need, though they be thousands and thousands of miles away, telephone is no problem. Because they're accessible. And I thank God for people, for pastors who are accessible and accessible. And then accountability. That says something in appreciation for a pastor. There I took you through the journey of the talents. And they took what they had and multiplied it. From 5 to 10, from 2 to 4, and from 1 to the graveyard. And that's the way it goes sometimes. And I've seen it in all these years of ministry. And I are a senior now. I've been at this for almost 62 years. And a lot of them have passed from off the scene in that period of time. But you have to be accountable. You have to be able to stand for what you stand for. And that when the time comes that you have to put up, you have to produce, and you have to stand there and quit you like men in those situations. You have to make up your mind, I ain't gonna get. John Betzig pastored a church at Elmira, New York for 60 years. I said to him one time years ago, I was there on different occasions, but in a revival one time, I said, how in the world can you stay here this long? He said, well, I made up my mind. If anybody's going to go, it ain't going to be me. Oh, and he went through unbelievable things, hurtful things, experiences. But he quit like a man and he stood strong in those times. And you know what? I think it's wonderful when an individual who becomes accountable and reproduces his ministry and people are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and God is doing. And this seed that these folks have been sowing here for nearly 20 years and will continue to sow, it continues reproducing itself. You'll be surprised, this couple here, time after time, people will come in here who were brought in on the bus, and they'll say, I remember you, Brother Hurst. I remember you, Sister Hurst. I remember, because I rode the bus when I was just a boy. We were back over in here somewhere one time preaching. It seemed like it was Chautauqua years ago. My nephew, Rodney Eldridge, come driving up and he's taking a shortcut out of Germantown trying to find the place. And there was a fella hitchhiking along the road. And he drove up by this man and overrode his good wisdom, picked him up and got him in the car there. And Rodney began to witness to him about the Lord. Said, do you know the Lord? No, I don't know the Lord. He said, well, you ever been a Christian? Maybe. Said, yeah, I was once or something. He said, not going to church? He said, well, I used to go to church. He said, where'd you go to church? He said, down Kentucky. And said, well, what was the name of that church? He said, I don't know the name of the church. He said, well, what do you know about the church? He said, I just know the bus I rode on. And said, what do you know about the bus? He said, its name was Matthew. And he found out that that boy from the time he was a child had ridden one of, we had four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he had been riding Matthew, Carl Hacker's bus, and he never got past it. And even though he wasn't serving God then, time was still driving home the things that he had been taught. And that's the way with the ministry. If you're accountable to people, you will have an effect upon people. And it doesn't end in your sojourn in the pulpit or in a location, but it continues on and on and on and on. And I'll tell you another neat thing about pastors. It's their adaptability. Paul in Philippians 4:11 said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." It's an interesting thing, because of course I've preached in brother's home church in Oklahoma. Brother Lewis was that same church. I preached for Brother Lewis years ago, and then he came back over in the central part of Oklahoma and I preached for him again. But it's interesting how an Oklahoman and then a missionary daughter could come in here amongst this bunch of briars and fit. But they fit just like a hand in a glove. They really do. They have adapted themselves to our ornery ways. As it were, they know what soup beans are now and taters. Yeah. You heard about after they come to Ohio, they wanted to put this little boy out of school. And the reason he's causing trouble, they said, "Why is he causing trouble?" He said, "They're trying to teach him to spell tater with a P." Potato. Whoever heard of that, he is saying. But it's a wonderful thing when you can adapt to a congregation. And they adapt well, or at least I think they do, and I know you do. And then the anointing. I've sat in meetings with Brother Hurst and Sister Hurst more than once, and him primarily, because it fell my lot to be in situations more so with him, to see the difference. You see, it's one thing to be anointed in a pulpit, and it's another thing to be anointed in a business meeting. And one's as important as the other, as far as I'm concerned. In fact, one may be a little more important sometimes. When you can take positions and speak words of wisdom and give direction when it's necessary as far as people and programs and lives are concerned. And in that anointing in 2 Corinthians 1:21, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God." In 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man should teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." There's nothing like the anointing. And thank God for a pastor and wife and family who are under the anointing of God. Another memories come back, you know, when I was pastor in Cincinnati at that time, we had our CAs. We called them Christ ambassadors. The age boundaries were, you became a Christ ambassador at 12 years old. And then they phased you out at around 35, 36, somewhere. And that's the end of that. I never will forget A.G. Manning came in church one night, and one little guy got up about 12 and he said, "I thank God for being a Christ ambassador." He's about 12. And then some little girl got up about 17 and said, "Oh, I just thank the Lord for being an ambassador." And then another one got up maybe 25 and said, "Oh, it's wonderful to be an ambassador." And A.J. Manning was about 40 years old. He got up and tears run down his face. He said, "Wish I was an ambassador," he said. Young people. In that same young people's meeting, we elected our Christ ambassador's leader, and he was a guy named Robert Counts. And I said, "Now, Robert, here's how you do." We had CAs on Tuesday night. I said, "Get you some speakers and pick them out and have you a program, and let's go on with this thing, and it'll be good, and young people enjoy it and everything. I'll do it," he said. Well, I turned it over to him, and we got started and sung our chorus. A good spirit in the meeting. I mean, it's going good. Well, he'd given one speech to Johnny Andrews, He gave one to Maxine Smith, and he gave one to a third person. I never can remember who it was. And they each was going to faith, hope, and charity, or, some little combination of threes he was going to use for the meeting that night. Where Robert got up and said, "Well, it's good to see all of you here tonight. God's Spirit's moving, and we're just so thankful." And the longer he talked, the wilder he looked. And the wilder he looked, the more anointed he got. And you could see the Holy Ghost just falling on him, begin to radiate in his face. He ran over and grabbed Johnny's speech, said, "I'll take that." And went back over to Maxine and grabbed her speech and said, "I'll have that." And went over to that other person and grabbed theirs and said, I'll do this myself," he said. When you get the anointing, you can do it by yourself. Vince Wilson used to say, if a bear come in the back door, he'd wrestle it. You get that anointing upon you. You can stand up to opposition, to trial and test and indifference and persecution. Anything that comes along, the anointing makes the difference. And then availability. I slightly touched on this in accessibility, but I want to hit it again a lick. For the simple reason of being able to get a hold of somebody 24/7. I graduated a year after a boy from Middletown years ago, and he had got some little dose of religion somewhere, and he went to divinity school. And he got off and trained a little while. Then I met him again on the street one day, and I said, "Bob, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm working at Armco." I said, "I thought you went to divinity school." He said, "I did, but," said, "when I got up there, I found out that I shouldn't be there, that I really wasn't called to nothing. I was just there." And so he came back home, and he soon fell out of the ministry. And you'd be surprised how many fall out like that. And I'm talking about Pentecostals. Are you aware that a fourth to a third of Assembly of God missionaries after one term on the field take a different direction? The going gets a little rough. They run into hardships and difficulties that they didn't think about facing before. And then when they come back, they think it through. Or pray it through, however the case may be. But all the idea of being available. And Luke 11:5, "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight?" Boy, midnight. Verse 8, "And he said, and I say unto you, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed." Here this fella at midnight was laying in the bed, and all the kids was on their pallets. Heard a noise, went to the window, most probably living on the second floor, looked down there, and a fella said, say friend. That friend word used 3 or 4 times in those passages. "Friend, I've had some people come along and they're hungry, and we need some bread. And could you lend me a few loaves of bread for this company that I've got?" And this fellow looked down and said, "No, I can't. It's bedtime." And he said, "I'm in the bed with the children. And we're all gathered under the quilts. And we're doing some resting right now." But this man said, "We've got this company and up against it. And the cupboard is bare." And he said, because of all these other things, he wouldn't do anything, but because of his importunity. He saw the need, and he was willing to go to the cupboard, though it be midnight. That's the way pastors do. Yeah. I don't know how many pastors that are here this morning. I don't know whether you've ever had to give a pint of blood direct. I have. They called me to Marymount one time, and George Buckle's wife was dying. And they said, "She's got O positive," and said, "You've got it." And I said, "I know it." Said, "You okay? When you give?" I said, "I give regularly, every 3 months." They said, "You mind giving a pint?" I said, "I don't mind." Laid down on the bed next to her, and they pumped. I thought it was a quart, but it's just a pint. They pumped a pint of blood out of my arm, and in it went Sister Buckles. And honest, after she got a pint of my blood in her, she never did get sick no more. She lived good till she died. I mean, she just prospered. Now, pastors do that kind of thing. And then I don't know how many times Brother Hurst has had this, but pastors have to be willing to shell out too. And I'm sure, knowing these two, that more than once, they've shelled out. People come and bum you. And it fell my lot to be right off, after they built I-75, I was right off I-75. And it seemed like every bum that went down I-75 knew where Gene Huff lived. I've had them as late as this year still calling. In fact, one pastor put them on me. Made me mad. I said, what about that guy? Why didn't he do something himself? Got on the phone with that person, he said, and he told his story, and it was a sad story. Shelling out again. But cast your bread on the water. It'll return after many days. And that's the way pastors, that's the reason we appreciate people like Brother and Sister Hurst, is because they're available to us. So when you get broke, find his number and call Brother Hurst. See, I've got to borrow a little. Yeah, forgive me, brother. But don't you appreciate him today? And my little portion, I'll tell you what I want to do. You've gifted them. But there's something even more important than those cards you gave them. And that love offering. And that's your prayers. And I want this foursome to come back up to the front and stand facing the audience. And as many of you as feel impressed, you can, but probably be best to stay in your seats. But at least the elders come down, and we're going to pray for this family. That the days ahead will even be more successful. And boy, the church is doing great. You're full up today nearly. And that's so good, so good. Let's stand together, if you will. And as many of you, or if there's some of you that just feel impressed, would like to come up and just through prayer and what have you, and then afterwards, maybe shake their hand, tell them how you love them and how you appreciate them, because we certainly do. God bless you, brother. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for Brother and Sister Hurst and their family, their sons, their daughters, for their ministry among us, because you equipped them to come to this place and have greatly used them, Lord. We're grateful. Continue to use them and glorify your name in their ministry among us. Lift us up through them and lift them up through us, O Lord, by your mighty power, by your presence, and by your Spirit. Oh, God, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our pastors, Lord. We appreciate them so very much. Heavenly Father, we appreciate them so very much. Heavenly Father. Hallelujah, Jesus.